best of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you're Dom Perignon, baby. What's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone. You watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning that fucker and swinging my black flag high, eating the peanuts that the parties have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word. We're all hypocrites, but you're a patriot. You thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs, at the cops in their cars and the men in their suits. No, I won't take your hand and marry the state. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone.
So tell me about what you do and how long you've been established for, and a little bit about your background.
Okay, RetRed is a multiracial, non-governmental, grassroots women's organization. We started in 1986, October of 1986. It started with seven women who were at the time in a political party, but saw the need to organize with grassroots women, because at that time what they had was, they had women's organization, but those organizations were affiliated with political parties. And therefore, whatever the work of that organization would have done, it would have done because of what the party wants. And Guyana is a racially divided country, mainly by Eastern Indian and African race, and then the two against the indigenous, which indigenous people are far away into the interior. So what these women saw was that there was need for a multiracial organization where grassroots women could work together for something that they want, not about what not about the political party's agenda. And so they started the organization, and it started at a time when Guyana was in a crisis, is that, you know, we had food shortage, so like flour and those things were banned from Guyana. And, you know, we look at a way of which women could come together with a common interest across race, and one of the things was an income-generating program so that women could earn, but meet together and do things together. So the organization started in that way. So then from the income-generating program, which was making corn meal, or what we call maize, right, and then flour came back into the country, and then we started with embroidery and other small projects. Then we went off into all the campaigning stuff, because we just didn't want to do income generation, but we want women to become independent in the way to be educated about, you know, what's happening around them, and to find a way to fight for the things that, you know, poor people need. And so we began this organizing work of going into the community, meeting and discussing with women about burning issues that had to do with domestic violence and the cost of living and its effects on poor women. So our big breakthrough came in 2005, We had, Guyana had a flood, which was the worst in our history, and a lot of families were affected, poor families were affected by that flood. And we started organizing in various communities so people to get women to organize together to regain their livelihood since people lost all their livelihood in that flood. So what happens is that we organize with the women of different races to come together and we organize a speak out. A massive speak out in which we brought together more than 250 grassroots women across race to make the same demands because they were facing the same problems. And hence our multiracial network really kicked off well at that point. What we did was come together and we look at some of the things that we think are critical to the lives of grassroots women across race. And we came up with three priorities. This is us and women in the community. We're not saying that these three priorities are, you know, the only critical priorities, but we look at that as the most critical at the time. So, you know, or they're not the only ones. And that was, one, a living income and an affordable access to goods and services for poor people, beginning with women and their families. The other one was protection from violence, all forms of violence, domestic violence, racial violence,
economic violence,
sexual violence. And the other one was to gain a political voice,
political visibility
and voice for grassroots women, so that grassroots women could voice their concern and be heard and organize a lobby for the things that we need to change our condition, because our aim is to transform the lives of grassroots women and their families. And so what we've been doing under each of those priorities, we've organized a whole lot of campaigns around domestic violence, a whole lot of campaign around the economic situation. We look at incomes of the poorest of the set of people, and the poorest that we came up with were people, old age pensioners, and people on public assistance. Now, public assistance in some country would be like a welfare program. You know, if you have a disability and you can't go out there to have a paid job, then the government will, you know, give you some money on a monthly basis. So that is what our public assistance is like. Or if a single mother who has difficulty, you know, bringing up her children on her own and so on, that kind of assistance is there for her. If they can't find the father to ensure that he supports and so on. So those two people were really getting some ridiculous sums of money when the month comes that, you know, we find it really disrespectful. It's what we call starvation money. And so we said, of the set, those are the poorest. So those are the people we're going to concentrate on, because we wanted to, like, concentrate on a particular thing, win that, and then move on to address all the other things rather than going all around the place. The other set of people that we looked at are security guards, because they are being discriminated against in the sense that they work very long hours for very little money. So they work for like $105 to $110 per hour. That is less than a US dollar. It's like half of a US dollar. Right? And in order to really get some money, you would find them working for 12 hours, a 12-hour shift. But it's not much money you're getting for the 12 hours, so they would opt to work a 16-hour shift. So those are the other people that we said, you know, the income needs to be increased. And then we have the domestic workers who are also paid next to nothing for the work that they do. Our campaign is about recognizing women and women's work and valuing that work. And hence, if you value our caring work that we do, then you would pay the domestic workers more than you're paying them, because you see the importance of the workforce in the home and then outside of the home. But also you would see the importance of women wanting to be with their family. So these ridiculous hours that security guards working, you know, for next to nothing, that would be respected as well. We raise points
they're
about...
They're mostly women, aren't they? The security
guards. Yes, a lot of the security guards are mostly women who are sent to some really desolate area, some dangerous area, with no bathroom facility, you know, and sometimes alone and places where women have been raped because of, you know, there is nobody there to help and so on. So those are the things that we have been campaigning up against. So we've organized with women across race to do that.
Let's say something a bit more on wages.
Could you say about the campaign against the policemen? I think that's quite a crucial.
Okay, and the violence.
Okay.
But since she's on wages, I think we should say that Red Thread from conception has been and still is campaigning on the basis of women's caring work as the foundation of the economy. Like the other organizations in the Global Women's Strike, Wages for Housework and everybody else, we, apart from working with all these other low-wage workers, there's the waitresses that are also faced with all kinds of sexual assault. You know, you pass, people tap you on the butt, and the boss think it's okay. If you kick up, you lose the job. So you find people changing jobs as often as they would in order to be comfortable. But on the basis of the domestic workers, you can see how important is that, because for us, every woman is a domestic worker. That's that she's being unpaid in her home and she's paid when she goes out. So we've been trying to organize and campaign with them for a while, which has been a bit shaky. But last June, the ILO, International Labour Organization, has passed a convention 189 that says the domestic workers are workers, and that they're entitled to decent work and decent wage like every other worker. So who raised that? So now we've begun to organize in a way in which people would get the point now. Because remember, domestic workers are people who work in separate homes. They're not together like everybody else, so they can decide to strike. But even though that they know, knowing now, I should say, that there is protection for you, should begin to give them some courage, even to tell us, for us to say it on their behalf. And that is a stepping stone. So we, Red Thread, who's the office, in fact, we're going to Crossroads, Office of Red Thread and the Global Women's Strike. We are now organizing with the Caribbean Network of Domestic Workers. In fact, we are founder members. We became members last year. And we're now going to be organizing for the ratification of that
Convention
189. So that domestic workers could begin to feel a bit more comfortable and to fight for some basic entitlements, which we've been doing for over the years. So far, the good to it is that Hungary has been the only country to ratify that convention, and it happened last week. So that is one of the things that we will continue to do as part of upcoming events. Domestic workers can come in, tell us their problems, and we can begin to make a case out of it.
In this issue of the other priority, which has to do with violence, we have been doing a whole lot of work around domestic violence, organizing demonstrations, we did street theaters, we've written a lot of letters to the newspaper, yeah. We've had like TV talk show, speaking out about the effects of domestic violence on the family, the women and the children. And we have done a lot of work on rape. We picketed 1 year for the Rape and Sexual Assault Offences Bill to be passed in Parliament. That is being done, and we have been calling for it to be enforced. So,
and what is that? Just
the sexual offences legislation.
Rape and sexual assault is a
bill that has been formed into law to deal with cases of rape.
You all helped draft it, right?
The Minister of Human Service has drafted the bill, and was in consultation with us. So we, you know, were consulted on this bill, and we made amendments to that bill.
Based on experience.
And, right, you know,
based on our experience
and the experience of women that we've been working with and so on. So we have contributed to that law. So then it was there sitting and nothing was being done to it. So we picketed it for that law to be passed, because this old law that they have people waiting for a trial 19 years down the line, still waiting for the matter to go into the High Court. It's just a preliminary investigation, inquiries going on for all these number of years. But with the new law, it's supposed to be, like, you know, easier. And so we decided, look, so many women and children are being sexually molested. You know, then you go into the court and then they're further molested or raped, as we would say, by these lawyers and so on. And most times the magistrates allow it. And so we said, with this new law, all of this should be done away with. So what we did was picket 1 year to get this law. Now what we're doing is picketing for this law to be enforced. So now we got the law, we're picketing for it to be enforced. And the idea of us doing that... The police commissioner was accused of raping a woman and this is recent. It started in December. This came out in December. That she had a problem with the police, that the police had held her for a matter. And she had a matter engaging the police attention. So she went to the police commissioner for some assistance to deal with this police and this matter. And she was raped by him. He said that it is not rape. The sex was consensual. So we picketed the office of the president to say, listen, this is unacceptable behavior, and this man should be sent home. We had a TV interview in which we said he should be sent on leave to allow for investigation. So the government sent for outside help and so on to come in, people from Jamaica, investigators from Jamaica to come in, and they said that, you know, they found him to be guilty. The director of public prosecutor advised that he should be charged, and he moved to the court, the High Court, to block that rape charge. And the Chief Justice said to the director of public prosecutor, gave her a week to say why she think he should be charged. And when she gave her reasons, he threw out the case and said that her reasons were irrational. And so he can't charge the man for rape. So what we did was picketed the High Court to say that this is wrong. Because they started bringing up all sorts of things that they know about the woman to say that, you know, she's a bad person. And therefore, it had to be that she's trying to get money from the man. You know, that is why she's alleging that he raped her. We picketed the High Court because we think that that was wrong. And our point is, okay, so if you're saying that the sex was consensual, as a police commissioner, you should be charged because you interfere with police investigation. You're the head cop.
Mm-hmm.
And if the police is investigating this woman for something that she has done, you have no right whatsoever to engage in consensual or not
exactly.
sex with her.
Exactly.
So we have been picketing. We did a lot of interviews on the television about that. Just before we left, he was asked to resign. We're not satisfied that he was asked to resign. We wanted him to be sacked.
Prosecuted.
Because when he resigned, he has all his benefits,
rewarded.
And
exactly.
therefore being rewarded for the wrong
being
that he has done means that he can go and do it again.
Exactly.
He should have been charged for what he has done. But the other thing is, we didn't want him to go back there as commissioner. So we could say that we want that, but yeah. we're not satisfied.
That's a victory, definitely.
Yes, but we're not satisfied. We see that as a very small part compared to what we wanted.
Yeah.
However, our main focus, we will continue to do all the work that we're doing, the campaigning for the cost of living, for better living standard. We will continue to campaign for the work on violence, all forms of violence. Two of the main things that we might have in, you know, focus on in the future, apart from those campaigns, is organizing with domestic workers, as Joycelyn said, and the enforcement of the domestic this rape and sexual assault legislation.
So that nobody else.
The thing is that we have another meeting, so maybe you can all. Do you all want to make one last point?
Yeah, just one last. The thing that we also did was to enable grassroots women to have a voice, so that they're able to speak out on television. Also, the pensioners, they actually put their signature to a letter to go into the newspaper. So we are getting the strong political voice of the grassroots women out there.
Great. Okay. And how do people find out how to find out more about what you do? And do we? I guess the Global Women's.
You can go to the Global Women's Strike. All the organizations that are talking to you today, you can find information on the Global Women's Strike website at www.globalwomenstrike.net.
Okay, great. So tell me a bit about what you do and the organization you're in and a bit about that background.
My name is Rhea Doll, and I have a mother of four children, and I represent an organization in Haiti named SOPUDEP, S-O-P-U-D-E-P, and this organization was started in 1994. We was organized to develop our own community, but since we work together, so we have a program. We will start a program for literacy program for adults. It was 2000, so we sent this moment they have kids came to the same class with adult 50, 40 years old. So we decided to start a school for the children. So we have a school, we start 10 October 2002. Now I have 664 children, grade K to 12, and also we also have a special program for the street children, and some of them it's older, 18, 20 years old. So we have a lot of friends everywhere support my work, especially people in Canada. They support my work, and it's very good thanks for me. And Women Global Strike to support my work also. And we work with many groups in the world. Also, we just organize the women and the community. So we have I have connection with many groups and the grassroots movement. And we organize politically, and also we organize socially too, because, you know, and both match together. And what we do for the women, socially, I organize to make them after the earthquake, so the bad moment for, especially for mother, so we don't know what to do. And the way they make distribution food, I was not happy about that. And I was receive some support from HERF, it's Haiti Emergency Relief Fund, so they support me, and I started microcredit for the women. I was starting in March 23rd, 2010. So I will start with 21 women. Now I have 158 women inside the program. So it's it was very good. So I think we have different groups inside the program. We also some teachers participate. We have some women and parents inside the school participate also in the microcredit. That's a very good program we make for the women.
And it's focused on the woman and focused on children, and it's a place, a space to support vulnerable people, basically. Like the school, the school is like the whole angle is to look after the children, and to, because I guess this after the earthquake there was the facilities were not available.
And after they have quake, the community where the school is was destroyed. All the houses almost destroyed. But the school was not, and they have also a part of the school was destroyed. All the people in the community used the school to survive. The things they survived to put it in there, under the school. They used the classroom, and after 3 months, so people move, and we start. To work, and people just happy to give me the place because I was give me a lot of support for the people living inside the school. I bring in water, clean water, and some stuff, some food, and so they happy to give me the place to we start. And it's not also for children, but also for a place. The women, we make meeting with women. Different communities, sometimes some of them come from the countryside, coming to Port-au-Prince, and we do some meeting too. We organize together.
Great, okay. And I guess anything more to add?
Anything else you'd like to add?
What I want people to know, it's I want people to know Haiti and how people working in Haiti and the condition of the people. Especially in, I want to all the women everywhere in the world to support Haitian women, because even the situation you have, president, even everything, every people. So now we have free education in Haiti, everything working well, and you can see in the way and the TV, you can see. But the situation still difficult for Haitian people. So what we need. We need support with each woman everywhere in the world to support Haitian people. Because even that, so the situation still continues worse everywhere. We have UN in Haiti.
Occupy.
It's occupied in Haiti. We're still under occupation. After more than 200 years, you snap. Talk about your freedom. So we have occupied by UN. So it's not come to Haiti to support Asian people. They came to make Asian people more poor because the presence of those people in Haiti, it's not a good things for people. So we don't know where they do for us. If they do something for us, everybody can see that. They will have a big change in the country. The presence of them can make a big change if they come to make peace, to make something better. So his presence in Haiti is not a good thing for us. So what we need support with all women, all people. It's really a people who need change to join us together with Haitian people to ask those people to leave Haiti, to move, to keep Haiti, to keep the place to leave Haiti. So those people are not doing good for Haitian people.
Yeah, I was just going to add that a lot of the time, I have many problems with the UN myself, and a lot of the time the UN has like a colonized kind of attitude, and and that's no solution.
And can I just add that in women of color, in the global women's strike and the global women's strike, we are definitely going to be putting out a call. We're calling on women of the world to support the Haitian people for the occupation, the UN occupation to end, so that Haiti has their self-determination and can decide their own future, mm-hmm. and also for compensation for the cholera which the UN brought to
exactly.
Haiti. And the last thing, which we're really determined to do, is to call out the NGOs and charities who have been lining their pockets, really thieving from Haiti under the guise of helping, but actually stealing Haitian people's money. And the people of the world gave generously, and that money should go for Haiti's relief and for Haiti to rebuild and for housing and for clean water and for food, the essentials of life, not into the pockets of the NGOs to build luxury hotels. So we are definitely, we're going to be supporting Rhea's work, which is fantastic, and we have learned so much this while we have been lucky to have Rhea here, and we've learned so much, and we're even more determined to fight for Haiti. We're absolutely determined.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
flames through the worst of times.